What we are going to do today is we are going to look at spiritual growth. Salvation is by faith alone, and we are eternally secure in this church age, but some have this mentality that no matter where we are or what we do in our Christian life, we are safe and secure and cannot lose our salvation. And so, even though those are truths, some take advantage of God's grace. We should always have a desire to grow spiritually, stay close to God, and stay away from sin. All right, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Starting in verse 8, the King James Bible says this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." All right, so notice verse 10 there. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So there you see that good works do not come before salvation. They come after, right? And then you see, "which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Should being the key word. Amen. All right, so we are saved to do good works for the Lord. All right, verses 8 and 9 show how we are saved. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. You do not work for a gift. A gift is free. Verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." If we could save ourselves, we could boast about it and get the glory for it, and God would not get the glory. All right, and so we are saved to do good works for the Lord. It is faith alone. By grace, through faith. Although works do not save us, we were saved to do good works. Not to stay saved, but to have a close relationship with God. Jesus Christ died for us, so we should live for Him. All right, look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we will read verses 11 to 15. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So, zealous means passionate about what we do. Okay, so we are to deny ungodliness, which is wickedness, disregard of God and his commands, and a neglect of his worship. We are to deny worldly lusts. You know, look at 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's all that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, Satan tempted Christ three times in the wilderness with those three. He also tempted Eve in the garden with those three. All right, and we should live righteously. All right, now, remember, we have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. You'll see that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, wait. I have the wrong one there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you see that, you know, we were imputed the sin of Adam. Because of Adam, we are sinners. All right, and then Christ on the cross was imputed the sins of the world. And he became sin. But the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, then Christ takes that righteousness of God and he puts it around you like a coat. Amen. We should live soberly, should have a sound mind. And remember, we have, when I say we, I mean we who are saved, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we should live godly, obedient to God's commands. The commands that are for the church today. All right, so you have to rightly divide the word of truth to see which commands of God are for the church. All right, now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now that verse shows you right there that the world is going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. And in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Right. And lastly, should be looking for Christ to come into those clouds and call his church home by name. Amen. Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so we are to not be looking for signs, you know, earthquakes, typhoons, volcanoes, blood moons, eclipses. We're not to be looking for those. You know, signs are for the Jews. But yet, I see a lot, you know, on Facebook. You know, there will be like a earthquake or something, or a volcano will erupt. And then people get on Facebook and they will say, get ready because the signs of the times are everywhere. Signs of the times. Signs are for the Jews. We need to be watching and looking for the Lord's return in those clouds to get us. Amen. So we are commanded to grow in grace, in knowledge, and bear spiritual fruit. Look at 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. 'And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.' And then verse 8, 'For if these things be in you and abound they make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Galatians 5. You're going to see the fruit of the Spirit here. And notice Spirit is capitalized. So that is the Holy Spirit. We'll read verses 22 all the way to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And keep in mind, that is only by God's grace that we are able to do this. Amen. So now, what prevents us from growing spiritually? Number one, no desire for the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, when you are born again, that means that your dead spirit, the Holy Spirit, has made that dead spirit come alive. Alright, so when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside you and brings new life, regeneration, to your dead spirit. So, spiritually, in your new nature, you are like a new baby. Babies need to grow, so they drink milk. They can't handle strong meat. But as they grow, they get stronger and stronger. Right? So we should be studying God's Word, reading God's Word, as per 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, another thing that prevents us from growing spiritually is not believing God's word. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read verses 13 and 14. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, become followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, I'll give you an example of this. I know somebody that grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church. Grew up under IFB preaching and teaching. Left the Baptist church. Started going to a Church of Christ church. Plays drums for him. He can also play guitar. And said to me one time, "I just don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible is written by man." That is a shame. You know, and to be a Bible believer, you have to believe the whole Bible from cover to cover. You just can't pick and choose what you want to believe and you throw the rest out. Like, you know, some believe that the account of Adam and Eve, you know, is just a story, you know, to teach a lesson. You have to believe the whole Bible from cover to cover. Dr. Ruckman used to say that he believed the Bible from cover to cover, including the covers. Amen. Praise God. Another thing that will prevent us from growing spiritually is carnality and living in sin. You ask, well, what does carnal mean? Well, carnal is pertaining to the flesh, opposed to the spiritual. You know, being in the natural state, the natural man. The natural man is the unsaved man. All right, so look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's read verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is capitalized there, so that's the Holy Spirit. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right, now go to Romans 8, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Well, let's read 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's read verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And then verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? I see that a lot also. Now, especially on Facebook. Envyings and strife and divisions and arguments and fights over about what is right, you know, and name calling and all this other. And to me, that gives the body of Christ, the church, a bad name. You know, people see that. The lost can see that. And say, well, why do I need to be saved? I'm going to be just like them. I don't want to be like that. You know, so we should stop being carnal. All right. So we are commanded also to live holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. But remember that there is no such thing, you know, as sinless perfection. All right, there's no such thing as sinless perfection. You know, while we're here on this earth. But it still doesn't give us a right or a free ticket to live our lives the way that we want to. You know, we should always strive to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. So now, number three here, we're going to look at a few things that can help us to grow spiritually. Number one, the Word of God. Now, notice how the Word of God is likened unto food and drink. Right? That helps us to grow physically. All right? Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See that? And it's also like water and soap. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Also, the Bible is likened to apples, honey, and meat. All right, look at Proverbs 25:11. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. All right, Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 10. Let's read verses 9 to 11. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now look at Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So the word of God will help you to grow spiritually. And then also another thing that will help us to grow spiritually is prayer. All right, look at James 5:16. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous of a righteous man availeth much. So, prayer is how we talk to God, and then God talks to us through His Word. Amen? Now, Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. So, I'm not going to get into each of these right now. But maybe someday, you know, as the Lord leads, I will get into it. But these things are involved in prayer, right? You have supplications, intercessions, you have confession, you have thanksgiving, and you have adoration. Right, those things are involved in prayer. Right? And also, another thing that can help you to grow spiritually is a local church. But I will say this about a local church. I would only attend a local church that taught sound doctrine. You know, too many churches, too many Christians today are just about soul winning. You know, you will, let's see, you see something on Facebook, on social media, you know, about, say, the Genesis gap. The Genesis gap fact. You know, and somebody will be teaching on the Genesis gap fact, and then someone will comment on that post and say, well, what is so important about this? You know, just go win a soul. So all they think about is soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. But a church that is all about soul winning and they don't teach any doctrine, that's going to be a very weak church. So, you know, many say that, well, you know, if you don't have a local church around you that teaches sound doctrine, you know, as dispensational, you know, and doctrine and whatnot, you still need to attend a church, you know, to please God, to obey God. But do you think God wants you to learn wrong doctrines? Think that would make him happy? Think that pleases him? I don't think so. So, that there is spiritual growth. Go ahead and I'll stop right there. And I just pray that this teaching is a help to you and a blessing to you. All right. And thank you so very much for being with us today. Thank you for your prayers for us, our families, our ministries. Until next time, God bless you.